Sunday the 30th of October 2022, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Characters We Know. Sermon title, The Prodigal Son. Bible reading, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Talk by Reverend Elwon John.
A reading this morning is from Luke 15, starting at verse 11, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord.
I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this most beautiful of the parables of Jesus, the younger son specifically represents the sinner who was enslaved to his senses and wasted his life in the pursuit of immoral pleasure of sensual kind. And this libertine son will be brought to his senses, will begin to see the mess he has made of his life. Only when he was wasted everything and has inherited and discovers. As such, libertine often do, when once their money is gone, so are their so-called friends who gladly help. them, wasted, but then quickly abandoned them in their sad fate. However, the parable seems to teach us that the worst sin of the younger brother is not really these sins of the flesh, which inevitably begins him down, but rather the sin he shares with his elder brother, the sin against the father's love. A terrible failure to love him in return for all his love and generosity. In the case of the younger son, this profound ingratitude is perhaps more apparent because of asking for his inheritance, he treats the father as if he were already dead. And then the prodigal compounds his lack of love and gratitude by running off thus and squandering his father's hard-earned patrimony on the vile living. There is no real love present where one has so little awareness of callousness involved in treating someone's generous gift. Here, perhaps, the fruit of the lifetime's hard work, as if it were valueless, as if this generous bounty is something simply to be thrown away on the momentary pleasure of the flesh. The younger son's life as a self-indulgence profligate is a testimony to his terrible failure to love his father as his father loves him. Now, it may not be so immediate apparent that the elder son is also guilty of this sin of ingratitude and failure to love. But we sense that something is also very wrong with him from the way of he jealously and angrily reacts to his father's act of mercy toward the younger son who has come home, even though he was not a libertine like his brother, even though he has faithfully served his father in the family business for years. There is something deeply disturbing about his behavior toward the father's mercy and generosity. His bitter reaction to the father's welcoming home of a prodigal son is refusal to share the joy of the father at the dead son's return. Even before he learns anything about his brother's genuine repentance and desire only to be treated as a hired hand, is self-revealing his attitude, revealing the secret of his own sin of ingratitude and loveless sonship. What Jesus shows us is that after all those years of serving, he still did not in any way share the heart of the Father. By his anger, his secret sin is unmasked. It reveals that he had given his service not out of love for his father's, but solely out of the calculated sense of duty, aimed simply at the profit and at one day inherit the rest of his father's state. He totally fails to understand the great love of the father for both of his children, even for this prodigal son, and thus the elder son does not respond like a father. Not even to the point of recognizing that this other son of the father is still his brother. Now surely the point here is that the elder son is now in danger of being lost, of being dead. For this lack of love is the final barrier to sharing the joy of the Father, which this parable clearly suggests the idea of heaven's joy. He too must undergo a deep conversion if he is to find the path back to the Father's love. In fact, at this moment, he is in greater danger than prodigal son. For the prodigal, at least, has come home to recognize his sin and has come home to reconcile the love of the Father and to share his joy. Finally, we learn from the parable, looking at the prodigal son, just what it is what draws sinners to repentance and to find the way home. One might say that in the parable, the immediate cause seems to have been simply his physical hunger and the real danger of death he faced, and that is true enough. We might even say that at this point, the prodigal contrition is what we would call imperfect. That is not motivated really by the love, but mainly by the desire to escape from his present desperate situation, which literally threatened his life. But that is not the whole story here. For the element of love, in fact, not entirely missing in this converging process. Dear, today we need to see this parable in terms of sacrament of penance, to learn what it means to repent, to convert, to seek forgiveness, to learn how merciful the Father is to those who truly come home and ask his forgiveness. Unfortunately, today there are all too few who come home. And if they do, they came home to argue with the Father and defend their way of life rather than to recognize it as sin. They stay at a distance, like the proud elder brother who values earthly goods more than the love of anyone. And in the midst of the moral and even physical ruin, remains defiant to the lost. It is always the time for the alienated, the prodigal, the lost to come home to recognize the eternal love of the Father who did not spare his only son, that we might be forgiven and have a new life in him. My dear brothers and my sister, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ and his mercy. And if it does not move our heart and set our feet on the path home to the Father, nothing ever will. May we never close our heart to the love that God pours out on us. And then we too will be given far more than a ring and nice suit and nice shoes on our feet. There is also one piece to the parable that makes it perfect, that this investiture, vigil, at the welcoming home after the son has repented and committed himself to a new life. The father clothes him in a colorful robe. Whatever else that robing accomplished, it must definitely was not meant to honor his son's past life. Rather, it was a sign to the son and to everyone else that something important has taken place. He was the same old son, but he was the new son. Acceptance of the robe is a sign of a covenant between the repentant son and the loving father. The son cannot go back to the old ways because the robe is a reminder of everyone of a new responsibility. that the Son accepts. My dear brothers and my sisters, you and I are repentant sons and daughters. As we approach to God, the God is our loving Father, and we know that his forgiveness is complete. We should also know that if today we are the perfect and aggrieved elder brother, then we do not need the robe that symbolizes a change of life. The robe is for those who need to repent. The robe is for those who commit their lives in response to a loving Father. Beloved, shortly we will each be clothed in the robe. That is a sign of our commitment to walk in the steps of the loving Father. As such, we all prodigal sons and daughters. But like the prodigal son, be sure of our willingness to make the confession of sin to our loving Father. Be sure of our willingness to start life anew in a very special relationship with God. Be sure that we can accept the responsibility to live in this covenant we make with God. Dear, the Lord invites me and you as a loving Father to confess, to amend our lives, and to walk always in his paths. If we choose to do this, the Lord will always walk with me and with you.